You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 5. We're going to start in Luke chapter 5. We've got something that's nothing new necessarily. We're going to say some things that, you know, that come alive to you. Sometimes things you've heard over and over come alive after you've heard them over and over. Some things you've never heard, some things you'll hear for the first time. You know, I get a tickle at people that say, well, you know, I don't go to church anymore. I've heard all I need to hear. Well, that would be ridiculous. That'd be, you know, thinking that you could actually learn everything the first time you heard it. I don't know about you, but I learn every time I get in the Word. Yes. Things I've heard over and over. Yes. In fact, truth is that way. Truth is, when you get a hold of truth, when you get a revelation, when you say, man, I see that, I get that, I caught that. Wow, that is so good. Now I see that. You didn't just hear that for the first time. You heard that long enough to where you could recognize it. In other words, the fog dissipated, you got closer to it, and you heard it enough to finally, now you got it. Yeah. Things become clearer by approach. Yeah. And so that's the point of repetition. That's when you get in school, they repeat things over and over and over, principles, they teach you fundamentals and rudiments over and over. And then finally, the light goes off. Finally, after enough of hearing it, and going through the motions, and writing out the formulas, as it were, and listening to the teacher give the examples, and trying to explain it, after days, sometimes weeks, you go, oh yeah, I see that. But see, you didn't see it when you first heard it.
That's right.
You had to hear it over and over to finally get it.
Yes.
So if we stop, there's so much we could learn. There's so much revelation we haven't moved in. There's so many levels we've never gotten to, spiritually speaking. If we quit now,
Yes. We've
come this far. We've never been in a better position now to hear what God has to say. We've never been in a better position to understand what He has to say.
Amen.
We finally quit now. Are you kidding? We finally heard enough now where we can start to understand. And so that's kind of the way it is. I mean, I'm amazed week by week as I'll read through Scripture and see things and that'll just come a lot burning me, you know. And I'm thinking, my Lord, I've taught series on that. And then where was that verse?
Yeah.
You know, I get to looking thinking, did somebody add that? I mean, was that, you know. So don't discount repetition. Don't discount hearing over and over. In fact, we've been teaching on hearing. Last week we taught on how to hear, as it were. What will you listen to? You'll listen to things that you think have value. You'll listen to people that you think are valuable. You'll listen to things that you trust and people who you trust. You'll listen when someone's talking about something that you need. Are you with me? So understanding the Bible and listening correctly to the Bible boils down to how much value you place on the Bible. If you value it highly, you're going to listen intently. If you realize your need for what God has for you and what He promises you, you are going to come hungry. I mean, you're going to listen up.
Yeah.
Amen? You won't come to church just because you're supposed to come to church full, already know everything. You'll come to church empty, as it were, so you can fill up. I mean, if you come to a meal and you're full, you're not going to walk away with anything. But if you come to a meal and you're hungry, you'll walk away full. I think that's fascinating, that principle, when you think about it. If you come full, you'll walk away empty. If you come empty, you can walk away full. Jesus said a different way. If you come blind, you can walk away seeing. But if you come seeing, you'll walk away blind. Basically, He was saying those that say they see really are blind. And those that say they're blind can see. He didn't come to heal the healed. He came to heal the sick. Those that are whole have no need of physician. So we ought to come. It's our attitude that we come with determines what we leave with. And when it comes to hearing the Word, when the Word's opened up and a sermon's being preached, whether it's me or anybody, or whether you're reading or studying or listening to the radio or watching television programs where the Word is being preached, it's more than just what's taught. It's more than just what's said. It's how we listen. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, take heed how you hear.
Right.
Amen. So the way we listen, we need to listen intently. How we listen, we need to listen with expectations, because that's going to determine what's going to happen. It's not necessarily, as Steve McQueen said, I believe, in Cool Hand Luke. I don't know if y'all ever saw that movie. Right before they shot him. He, classic line, he says, what we have here is a failure to communicate. Well, it wasn't necessarily communication on the part of the speaker. It was the one listening that wasn't getting it. There's not always a correlation between what I teach and how people live. Or what I teach and how I live, even. Hello. You'd think if we just teach it right, everybody do it right. But, you know, if some people get it, some people don't get it. Sometimes I get it, sometimes I don't get it. So we have to pay a lot of attention to how we hear. We have to pay a lot of attention to our passion and our hunger.
Yeah.
If this were life and death here and we were doing a seminar on how you could live for another 20 years, or you're going to walk out here and die tomorrow, I think we'd have your attention. Are you with me? I mean, if you saw the severity, the importance of what's being said, the impact it would make on your life, then you would be listening up. Listening has everything to do with how much you receive, how you listen. Praise God. So we come expecting. Amen? You ought to come expecting. You ought to listen expecting. There's something in here that'll change your life. There's something in this message. There's something out of God's Word that you and I need today. Whatever it is, whatever the Word is, it will change our life. Maybe it's learning how to listen. Listen with intent. Listen with purpose. We need to purposely listen. Always heard this, everybody winds up somewhere in life. Some people wind up there on purpose. We all listen to some degree, but some of us listen intently and on purpose. What's your purpose in listening? What are you wanting to hear? Amen. Listen to this. This is going to help you. You're going to love this. Not unfamiliar. This is really a familiar scripture. Luke, the 5th chapter, after Jesus just actually healed a leper man, one with leprosy. And as usual, he told them, don't go spread it all over the place. Go show yourself to the priest. But the report spread widely that he had healed this man. In the 15th verse of Luke 5, verse 15, however, the report of him healing this leper, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their diseases or infirmities. Wow. That's interesting. Because they didn't just come to hear, they came to hear and to be healed. Well, let's just go see what God has for us. No, they came within purpose. They came with an intent. They came with a need in mind. They came with an expectation.
Right.
They came to church to hear in a certain way, in a certain manner. Listen with a purpose. They were listening to be healed. To hear and to be healed. Well, what are we listening for? What are we hearing the Word for? What's our intent? Do we have a desire? We have expectations when we get into the Word. If we have no expectations when we read the Word, we'll walk away with nothing.
That's true.
If we come full, we're going to walk away empty. But if we come knowing, maybe just a glimmer, maybe it's not a big flame, maybe it's just a spark, but just something in there, we're going, I need to do. I need to grow. I need God in my life. I need to hear what God has to say to me. Getting a little complacent, maybe. You ever been there? Kind of satisfied, but I don't want to get that way, Lord. I'm going to listen. I'm going to hear what you had to say to me. I'm coming to hear and to be healed. I'm coming to hear. He satisfies the hungry soul. Amen. The glass is half empty, half full. You often hear that. There's room. If it's half full, you got room for some more. The optimist says the glass half full. The pessimist says it's half empty. The engineer says we need a smaller glass. Anyway, okay. You'll have to chew on that one. However, the report went around concerning him all the more, and the great multitudes came together. They came for a purpose, to hear, but hear with an intent or a purpose. They came to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. Woo, hallelujah. They came with expectations. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Because there's just so many crowds. You talk about crowds. Jesus had people just thronging him. Now it happened on a certain day, as he was teaching, 17th verse, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Wow. The power was there to heal them. But if you read on the story, which I don't want to get into that detail, there was a man that was sick of the palsy that they let down through the roof. Remember that? And Jesus saw him come down through the roof. He said, son, cheer up, your sins be forgiven. And they got all upset. The Pharisees, Sadducees said, who's this man that forgives sin? Only God can forgive sins. And Jesus perceived in his heart, they so reasoned among themselves. And he says, why do you reason these things in your heart? Whether it's easier to say, be forgiven or be healed, that you may know the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. I say to you, take up your bed and walk. The Bible says the man was healed, took up his bed and walked, and they were amazed. They'd never seen it on this fashion. Well, what's fascinating was that whole time, the power of the Lord was present to heal anybody and everybody. It was present to heal.
Yes.
Why didn't everybody get healed? Why do we only hear about one guy getting healed? Because he came with a purpose. He came with an intent. His four friends led him down to the root. They came, they brought him so that he could be healed. So he left with something because he came with something, see? He was listening and he was ready and he was expectant. Man, that's powerful truth. And that's something that we have to continually stir in ourselves, because we can get complacent. We can get, you know, just kind of apathetic, and we can kind of get used to it, the sin of familiarity, you know. Even when God's moving in a service, we can kind of get used to that. Or a hot worship service or a good teaching. We just get to where we hear it all the time and we've been in it all the time. And so we just take it for granted. I'm amazed at people that visit or people that are trying to get right with God and they have a need in their life and they come to get saved. They come to get right with God. They come to get healed. Man, I mean, they are lapping it up. They are soaking it up because they are so hungry when they come. And sometimes we, and I'm not beating you on the head, I'm talking to me too. Sometimes we just kind of get, you know, used to it, and it's just kind of the way it is, and we don't come really passionate, and we don't really leave with a whole lot. I mean, it was a good service, but we just could have left with our life changed.
That's right, yeah.
If we would have come with that kind of attitude. So that's listening with a purpose, listening intently. God's Word has an intent. It has a purpose. Jesus is here to meet needs. That's what He's here. He's here to change us. He's here to heal us. He's here to save us. He's here to fill us with the Holy Ghost. He's here to do miracles in our life. He's here to make us better, to get us up on our feet. He is here to remove our sin, to change our attitude, so we can change the world. He really is. That's what He came for. That's what the Word is for. God has sent His Word for that intent and purpose. And wherever God's Word is and wherever Jesus is, the power of the Lord is always present to heal and to deliver and set free. But that doesn't always correlate, and it doesn't always equate out to healings, miracles, signs, and wonders. Because if the people coming to hear the Word are not hungry or don't have the need, then there's not going to be that manifestation. Amen? I mean, we just read it right there. They came to hear and to be healed, and right there the power of the Lord was present to heal, but it's just listed one healing there that took place. And I'm sure there were many that needed to happen. Don't you think?
Right.
So, look at Psalms 120. No, Psalms 100. Psalms 107.
Verse 20,
yeah, that's what I was thinking. Psalms 107, 100 SH Texas for 100. Turn with me to 100, Psalms 100. Well, if you're East Texas, I don't even have to explain that. You're thinking, what's wrong with that, Pastor? That sounded right. Psalms 100 and 7, verse 20. Notice this. In fact, this is talking about when God delivered His people and saved them out of their distresses and so on and so forth. And it says, the 20th verse, He sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. He sent His Word and healed them. You know, what is the answer to your dilemma? God's Word, no question about it. What is the answer to your situation, your crisis, your need, or your growth, or just taking you to the next level, if that's the case? Maybe you're doing great, but you just need to grow and need to mature. What is the answer? What's the steps? What's the system? What's the principle? How does God make that happen? How do you go to the next level? How do you mature? How do you grow? How do you get rid of sin, get committed, and all those things? Well, it's His Word. How do you get healed? His Word. That's how you get it.
Yes.
But His Word alone doesn't heal if we don't come expecting to be healed.
That's right.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
You know who God's Word came to more than anybody in the whole earth as far as a group of people? His own people. His Word came to Israel. In fact, that Romans, the 10th chapter, you don't have to turn there, but that 17th verse we quoted often, it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And that's a mouthful there. I mean, and the context of that is that if you want to get saved, you're going to have to hear the Word and believe the Word. Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. The 10th verse says, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Are you with me? Then it goes on and talks about, you know, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the good news, and you know, and how they cannot hear without a preacher, how they hear without a preacher, how they preach lest they be sent. Therefore, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the good news. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God, 17th verse. Then it goes on and says, well, have they not heard? I mean, it's fascinating when you look at that context, that scripture, that chapter. It says, well, have they not heard? Oh, truly, it says, his voice has gone out in all the world. It has. But you know what? They closed their ears and shut their eyes. Isaiah said they were dull of hearing. And their eyes they have shut, lest they hear, and lest they be converted, and I should heal them. Wow. How powerful is that? The word had the potential and the power to do all those things, but it was on the responsibility was on the hearer to open the ears and open his eyes with an expectation so that they'd be converted so Jesus could heal them. Woo! Man. Now that's listening with a purpose. That's listening intentionally. You know, we can hear things because we got ears. Sometimes we intentionally listen. And that's the only kind of listening that does us any good. Are you with me? It's when we're doing it intentionally, on purpose. So, God sends His Word to heal us. If that doesn't make us want to listen up, I don't know what does. Hey, I got something here. If you'll get a hold of this, it'll change your life and you'll get healed. Man, I'm telling you what, we ought to be flocking to hear that. Amen. Running down here, thronging the altar, trying to hear. What is that? What is it that's going to change my life? God's Word is going to change your life. When you hear it, come with an expectation. Come with an open ear and then with faith. Hallelujah. He sent His Word and He healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Now, if you're totally delivered and you're totally healed and you got no hang-ups or quirks, you really don't need this. I mean, if you're what we call perfectly normal. You know, I heard this, people that we call normal, just people we don't know very well yet.
Yeah.
Because I don't think there is such a thing as normal. You know, we have this term, dysfunctional family, and we start talking about people, well, you know, we came from a dysfunctional family. I don't know anybody didn't come from a dysfunctional family. Well, you get down to brass tacks. I mean, there's and going on in every family and all kinds of things that would cause you to be dysfunctional, but you don't have to buy into that lie. You don't have to be that way. You can get in the Word and overcome anything. That's the good news. You can be delivered from those destructions in your life, those issues in your life. There's a woman with the issue of blood. Well, we have a lot of issues, but it's still the answer is still the same. Amen? Get a hold of the Word. Get a hold of Jesus. Listen intently. He sent His Word and He healed it. That's the intent and purpose of this Word. If we'll receive it as such, if we'll receive it the way God sent it, for the reason He sent it for, then we'll walk away pleasing God. That's what's so good. We'll not only get delivered and set free, but we'll walk away with the intent and purpose of the Word, what it was sent for, it'll accomplish in our lives.
Amen.
That's what Isaiah 55, 10, 11 says. It says, as the rain comes down, the snow from heaven returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it will prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So meaning that if we do receive it, if we listen and we receive it, then in us it will prosper, and in us it will accomplish what God sent it for. And He sent it for increase, to give seed to the sower, bread to the ear, just like He sent the rain to cause the ground to burst forth and bloom and give out produce. He sent His Word to burst forth in our life and give productivity and take the dryness out of our life. But we got to get it in. We got to receive it. We got to listen up.
Yes.
Yeah. Are you with me? We got to listen with intention, with intent, with purpose. Man, I'm going to get me something tonight. I am going to get something tonight. That's the attitude we come with, or we come to the Word with. Lord, speak to me today. Cause this Word to come alive to me today. Guide me in truth. Show me Your ways. So, you know, we need to listen up. Amen. That's our obligation. Turn over, in fact, along those same lines, turn to Proverbs 3. Now, I told you some of these verses you're going to be very familiar with, but we need to hear them again. Amen. Man, I love that. Isaiah 55, 10, 11. Goes on, 12th verse says, you'll go out with joy and you'll be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth before you into the singing. The trees of the field will break forth, will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn tree will come out the thistle, and or the crepe myrtle. Instead of the thistle will come the cedar. My goodness. Your whole life changes.
Yes.
Get rid of the thorns. Get rid of the thistles. Get rid of, you know, the sad days and bad days. I mean, everything looks brighter. You ever notice when you're down, even a happy song sounds sad? That's from within. That's your thought life. That's what's going on inside of you. That's your attitude. It changes everything. People can be happy around you, you're mad at them. Aggravate you that they're smiling and laughing because you're sad and you're down and you're aggravated. Whew. Well, you go out with joy and you'll be led forth with peace, and the mountains and the hills will break forth before you into singing, and the trees of the field will clap their hands. Mr. Bluebird will be on your shoulder. Singing zippity-doo-dah, zippity-yay, amen. My, oh, my, what a wonderful day. Proverbs 3. Notice this classic, classic set of verses. Probably one of the first verses I ever got a hold of besides John 3:16, Romans 10:9 when I got saved. Proverbs 3:5. I'm sure, I really think that's the first verse that really burned in me and came alive to me when I was born again, 1975. I used to write scriptures on index cards when I got saved. I didn't know anything about God and, you know, come out of a wild lifestyle. And when I got saved, I started reading the Bible. I was going to church, and I just couldn't get enough. I was so hungry. Man, I hung on every word. It was just all so rich and so good. And I had a little closet in the apartment that we lived in, Chateau Creole Apartments on Red Bluff Drive, Deer Park, Texas. And so, Pasadena, Texas. Pasadena? Deer Park. Pasadena, yeah. We live in Pasadena, then Deer Park. But anyway, I'd come in from work, and Chris was about a year and a half old, you know, he was just a little tight. I'd come in from work, and as soon as I get in from work, I'd take a shower and change and go into that closet. It was literally a closet that I had a card table set up in. And I had on the wall, I had all these index cards, 3x5 cards, you know. I had a pack of them, and when I run across a good scripture I liked, I'd write it down and I'd stick it on that wall, and I'd look at it. Now, I didn't know anything about teaching or preaching. I didn't know I was called. I didn't know. That wasn't what I was doing. I wasn't studying for preaching. Are you kidding? Teaching a class wasn't even on my brain. I was just saved. I was so happy to be saved. I'd gotten delivered from drugs, and I got delivered from hell, and the weight of my sin, it was gone, and I was just, my future was so bright. I don't know how to explain it. I mean, it's just, I was born again. You know, I was born again, and the word was so, it meant, wow, I just couldn't believe it. This is so good. I was so enamored by it. I was so in love with it, and I still am in love with the word. And I would just write these verses down. I'd stick them on the wall, and I had the wall just covered in there. I mean, you can ask Brenda. I just had it covered with scriptures, and man, I just thought, oh, that is so good. And I'd tell everybody about it. I'd go to work and tell all my friends about it. You know, all my guys who did drugs, they thought I'd lost it. I mean, they thought I had gone way off the deep end, you know. But hey, a lot of them got saved, praise God. And this is one of them. I remember this, so it means so much to me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not your own understanding. See, and that meant something to me because I didn't have an education. I didn't have any official formal training. You know, I was kicked out of high school, so I didn't even have a high school education. I had made it to the 10th grade before they kicked me out, but didn't have a GED at that time. I mean, what I had was Jesus. I got saved. Are you with me? And so, to me, I needed to understand. I wanted to learn. I didn't know where the books were. I had to learn where the books of the Bible were. You can imagine, it was just so new to me. I mean, I'd heard of Jesus. I mean, when I was a young child, I mean, I went to church, but I didn't remember anything, but I remember a couple of songs, you know, about all I remember. Jesus loves me, this I know. I remember that one, and I remember one song, Jesus loves me, this I know. I can't think of another one. But yeah, I remember that much, and that was about it. And so anyway, I would read this, and man, I thought, oh yeah, I need understanding. I need understanding. So he said, trust in God with all your heart, lean not your understanding. So I leaned on that. I leaned on God teaching me, leading me, guiding me, directing me, and that's what he goes on saying, all your ways acknowledge him. He'll direct your paths. And And so I didn't know anything, but I knew God wanted to direct me. And all he wanted me to do was trust him, that's all. He's not asking for your intellect. He doesn't need your intellect. He's got plenty of it. In fact, he wants to give you his. He's not looking for your gifts and your abilities. He wants to give you his. All he's looking for you from you is your availability. And everybody starts somewhere. Everybody starts somewhere. A lot of people talk about me and say, man, you're so awesome. The way you quote those scriptures is just amazing. Well, let's get one thing straight. I've been pastoring for 27 years. Okay? Been preaching for over 30, really. I've done missionary work all around the world in different places. I've been saved since 1975. I did not start out this way. Okay? If you had asked me the day after I got saved where certain books were, I couldn't have told you where they were. Okay? I had to go study. I had to find that out. But one thing I did know that God loved me and he was for me and that he wanted to take up the slack in my life. And so I leaned very heavily on God. These kind of scriptures I gravitated toward. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. That wasn't hard for me to do. I didn't have a lot of understanding. Sometimes we're in better shape and we don't know a whole lot than we are when we're too smart. I don't think you can be too dumb to get this. But I firmly believe you can be too smart to get it. Are you with me? Most of us miss God because we're too smart. We're smarter than he is. We're smarter than his word. But you're not going to miss God being too dumb. And you don't understand the sense that I say that in. You know, that if you just believe, it doesn't matter your academic achievements. It doesn't matter degrees you have or don't have. If you can just believe, praise God, you can receive. If you'll just listen, he'll tell you what you need to hear. See, we need to develop the ability to listen. Isn't that right? Because he's got all the intelligence. He's got all the ways. He's got all the everything we need. So he says, trust the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, depart from evil, and it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Hallelujah, somebody. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So, the healing comes from the word. Comes from listening to it with that intent. They came to hear and to be healed. He sent his word and he healed them and delivered them from their destructions. It, and he's talking about trusting God, and he's talking about listening to God. It, this trusting God, this listening to God, this acknowledging God will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Wow. Man, that's powerful, isn't it? Now, God is all that, but he's only that to those that really trust him. He's only that to those that are really listening with the right attitude, that come hungry, as it were. You know, that word trust there in the fifth verse actually is the Hebrew word translated bold. Remember Proverbs 28:1 where it says, the wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Remember that? That word bold is the same word translated trust here, which I think is fascinating. He's talking about a confidence, a boldness. We need to be boldly confident in God. We need to be boldly trusting God. Boldly confident. Let me tell you something. If you do that, it'll be health and it'll be strength to you. Health to your marrow, to your bone. In fact, it goes on and says, honor the Lord with your possessions or your substance, with the first fruit of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Hallelujah, somebody.
Hallelujah.
You know, the answer to your financial woes is to trust God.
That's right.
And be faithful. Honor him with your honor him in tithes and offerings. That's what he's talking about, first fruits of all your increase. Honor him. Don't put your trust in your job. Thank God for your job, but don't look to that for your finance. Look to God to bless you. He'll give you jobs and so on and so forth. But it really, it's your giving and your trust in God that blesses you and that supplies your need. You wouldn't dare quit that job because you wouldn't get a paycheck. Well, you shouldn't dare quit tithing and giving because that's going to bless you. Amen? Because that's where your trust is. That's where your faith should be. Anyway. And so our expectations determine what we receive. The attitude we come with determines what we leave with. Not just listening, but the way we listen determines what we hear. And ultimately, whether we get healed or not. Anyway, like I say before, I started out, you know, just real simple here. I started out in kindergarten. But that's okay. Everybody has to start somewhere. but I went from kindergarten to the first grade. And you know what? I got enjoyed that and started learning, and I went to the second grade. So wherever you are, that's fine. Don't beat yourself over the head. We all start somewhere. Just don't stay there. Do not stay where you are. Let's take it on to the next level. Amen. Have you learned something about God? Fine. Let's don't just stay there. Let's learn some more about God. Have you got a revelation or two? Has God's Word helped you at some time in your life? Well, let's don't just stop it now. Let's keep going in a little deeper. He wants to take you a little higher. He wants to take you to the next level. He wants to do more with your life. Hallelujah. Have you had a miracle or two or a healing or two? Well, come on, let's get some more miracles. Let's get some more healings. Have you ever led anybody to the Lord? Awesome. Let's get that stirring and let's go lead some more people to the Lord. I mean, whatever it is God's done in our life, let's don't stay there. Let's take it on to the next level. How do we do that? Listen with intent. Listen with purpose. As we read His Word, as we study His Word, as we hear His Word. Amen? Praise God. Turn over to Proverbs 4. This helping you?
Yes, sir.
Praise God. Proverbs 4, verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. I love that. Everybody say, give attention. All right, you know, when you, I don't know what you're doing in the military, if you're lounging around and, you know, and a lieutenant walks in or a captain walks in or a major or a general, goodness, somebody walks in, I'm telling you what, I don't know what you're doing, but everybody stops, turns around, goes to attention, salutes. Hello. Out of respect, you respect this office, you respect this man in this position or this woman, whoever she is. He or she is, you give attention. Because they're going to come in for a reason and for a purpose, and they're fixing to say some things, because here in Texas, we're always fixing to do something.
Yeah.
They're fixing to say something here that's going to change your life. They may ship you out somewhere. I mean, this is the general or whoever. They're going to give out an order, and you need to be listening. Hello? It absolutely changes your destiny and your future. These people in authority over us, especially in the military, you understand that. Well, now, when it comes to God's Word, my goodness, we're soldiers of the Lord. Amen? We need to give attention to what God says. Because it could take us on a totally different track in our life. It could take us down a totally different road. It could change our destiny and change our future. When we get our orders from Him, we get our instruction from Him, it'll always be good because God always takes us to a better place.
Yes.
Amen? A wider and a broader place and a better place. Yeah, He delivers us from something, but He delivers us from something and puts us in something better.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't just take them out of Egypt. He took them to the Canaan land. He doesn't just take you out of sin. He takes you into His kingdom. He doesn't just deliver you from darkness, but He puts you in the kingdom of His dear Son. Amen? So He always has something better, but we've got to be paying attention. So He says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Now, He's not saying, I got something to say, I want y'all to listen. I mean, this is a little more intense, wouldn't you say? Even the wording. Give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. We hear a lot in the world. I think the biggest problem in the life we live now, especially this 21st century, is that there are so many voices and there's so many distractions and there's so many things that can rob our focus, hello, and the vines and the weeds and the thorns choke out the word.
Yes.
You know, that's what they do. We just don't have time for it anymore. You know, we don't have much time for the word. Oh, I used to have a lot of time for the word, but I'm just so busy. I got this, well, I'm growing up, and I got kids. Oh, I got grandkids. And I got the, whoa, when did you get to the point where you don't need God? I mean, when do you get to the point where you don't need to read, don't need to hear what God has to say? I think, if anything, I need Him more now than I did then. I didn't have a whole lot going on back then. I have a whole lot going on now. Hello. So I need Him more now than I did then, not less. Praise God. So I want to give attention to His words. I want to incline my ear to His saying. That is a specific, that's a very passionate listening. That's a focus. I love that. It is a focus. Faith is a focus. Listening is a focus. You know, you got to zoom in, center in on something here. I think of the children of Israel, Numbers 13. Remember the Kadesh Barnea, where the 12 spies went out and spied out the land. 10 came back with the bad and 2 came back with the good. It's amazing how they all saw the same thing. But it really wasn't what they saw. It was what they focused in on. The 10 spies focused in on the wrong thing. Joshua and Caleb focused in on the promise. They said, let us go up at once and possess it. We're well able to overcome. Now see, they had listened intently to what Moses had said when they said, go spy out the land which I give thee. Which I give thee. That stuck in their brain. They knew, hey, they weren't over there to find out whether they could win the land, whether they get the land. The land was given to them. They could win the land. God gave them the land. They just went over to see what kind of land it was. Well, 10 spies went over to see if they could get the land. They didn't even hear what Moses said. They weren't listening intently. They heard what he said, but they didn't get what he said. They weren't listening. The land was given to them. It wasn't up to them to be able to get it or not. God gave it to them. Joshua and Caleb were confident that what they'd heard from God, that their answer was from God, that God could do it. That's where their confidence was. They were confident and listening intently to what God said. This is our land. Woohoo! Hallelujah! So it wasn't what everybody saw. It was what they focused on. And it wasn't everything they heard. It's what they really listened to. You hear all kinds of things. You might even hear good sermons. You might even, you know, hear Christian music, as it were. But if you're not really paying attention to it, it won't help you. Amen? So what we're saying is pay attention. Listen up. Do not let them, 21st verse, depart from your eyes, because they will slip away. Oh, believe me, they will. I have to guard against this. I read a lot. I love to read. But I read a lot. I read more than just the Bible. I read a lot of books. And if I'm not cautious, I'll spend more time reading that. Because I know so much already. I am already so smart. Come on. I can already quote so many scriptures. Goodness gracious, I could just preach. I don't even need to study to preach for the next year. I could just get up here and preach. I mean, that's the kind of way you think, you know, when you know, because you know so many scriptures and you've heard so many sermons. And I've preached so many. I have preached hundreds and hundreds of messages. Just think about it. How I could just sit back on that and think that I am it, or I'm the cat's meow, as we used to say. No, I need God. I need to daily stay in His Word. There are things I don't know. In fact, I need to tweak some of my messages. I need to get a little more intense on some of the things I've taught. I need to hone them a little and shave them a little and get them more accurate, more grounded, more practical. Are you with me? Hallelujah. I'm teaching some of the same things I taught 20, 25, 30 years ago, but they're so much better than they were then. And they were good then. But they're better now because I'm still listening. And I'm learning more. Deeper truths about the same truths. Woo. So, I got to be cautious, and you do too, we all have to, that we don't let these things depart from our eyes. We need to keep them in the midst of our heart. Everybody say heart. Okay, that's what you treasure. That's what you value. That's what you think is important in your life. What is it that you treasure? What is it that you value? What sayings, what things do you love to go over? What verses, what lines on a song that you like to share and tell people? Or lines in a movie maybe you heard. I quoted one today, you know, already. What we have here is a failure to communicate. You know, but what really sticks in us is what we value, what makes an impression. Well, I tell you, the thing that we ought to keep in our heart is God's Word. That's right. It's nothing like Scripture to make your day. Man, I can have one Scripture come alive, absolutely make my day. I can just see some and I go, oh, that is so good. In fact, I'm on Facebook now. You know, I'm high tech. I am cutting edge. I'm a cutting edge high tech pastor. I've been on Facebook for 3 weeks now. But all I do is put Scripture on there. I mean, and that's fine. I mean, I think I communicate some. I'll make a comment or two, you know. But I like to put a Scripture on there, just for me, because I'm a pastor for one thing. But I see a lot of people doing it that they're not pastors. That Scripture just meant so much to them that day, and they put it on their Facebook for everybody to read. Facebook's a thing on the Internet where people can look at it and read, friends that you approve and so on and so forth. But it's I think it's so neat because you'll get comments sometimes, oh, that's just what I needed. Oh, that is so true. And then somebody will take it and add to it and run with another one. You know, and I think, yeah, man, you better believe it. Hallelujah. So it's what we treasure. It's what we have in our heart. Amen. So he says this. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they, everybody say they, and they are God's words. My son, give attention to my words, 20th verse. 22nd verse. For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. God's word is health to our flesh. He sent his word to heal us. That happens when we give it the attention that we should give it. When we listen to it as we should listen. One more verse. Yeah. Proverbs 16. Let's turn there and I'll close this out. Hallelujah. Anybody need to be healed of anything? Anybody need to get over destructions, things that are destroying your life? Maybe habits you need to overcome? Well, I know where you can get that kind of help. You can get it from God's Word. But you're going to have to give it your attention.
Yes.
You're going to have to place it in your heart. You're going to have to make sure it doesn't depart from your eyes. Hey, put it on a 3x5 card. Put it on your dashboard. Put it on your refrigerator. Put it somewhere where you're going to see it. Put it on the mirror in your bathroom. When you're getting ready in the morning and fixing your face or whatever you do, shaving, whatever, ladies, whatever you do, you know, put it right there. Amanda used to do that all the time. She'll have scriptures and put them on the mirror. We just look at them and read them every day. I love that. You get something that gets a hold of you, fan the flames. Don't let it burn out. I mean, if something burns and a scripture jumps at you, hey, jump on it. Jump on it. Learn to listen to God. Learn to hear that voice. See, actually what you're doing, if something kind of kicks, I mean, I'll write it down. And then I'll go back and study it. And I'll go back and develop it. Because there's something in there God's trying to tell me. And if I'm reading across the scripture and all of a sudden, more, hey, wow, that is so good. You need to stop and write that thing down. And put it somewhere where you can see it. Put it in front of your eyes. Okay. So we start out with, I came to hear and be healed. Luke 5:15. They came to hear and to be healed. They came with an intent. They came with a purpose. Amen. In fact, that's the same thing it says over there in the sixth chapter. Sixth chapter Luke says the same thing, that they came to hear and be healed. It's a repeat of the same thing. And then over in Psalms 107, verse 20, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all their destructions. And then over in Proverbs 3, verse 8, it says that if we will trust in God with all of our heart and lean not to understand. The 8th verse says it will be health to our navel and strength to our bones. Hallelujah. And then Proverbs 4:22, if we'll attend to God's words, the 20th verse says, the 22nd verse says that it's life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. But listen, I'm telling you, the importance is placed upon our intent, our expectation, our focus, and our listening. If we guard it, if we keep it in our heart, if we don't let it depart from our eyes, if we attend to it and we incline our ear to it, yes, it's health to us.
Yes, that's right.
Amen? If we come to hear and to be healed, we'll get healed.
That's right. That's
people hear the word every day, don't get healed.
That's
people
right.
hear the word every day, don't get set free. But if they come with the intent to get set free, they come to get something. Woo! Makes all the difference. Amen?
Yes.
So it's not just listening, it's how we listen. It's listening with a purpose. That's what it is. Now notice this, and we'll close this out. 24th verse. Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16, verse 24. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb. Sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. I love that. So words are healing, amen? There again, they're healing to us if we'll listen to them. I like this, it says, pleasant words are like a honeycomb. In other words, we're okay with them. We're comfortable with them. They're pleasant. They're soothing. We trust in them. A lot of people say things, we don't trust them. We don't listen to them. We're not paying attention to them. But if it's someone we do trust and someone we do know and someone that we love to hear, we listen to them, their words are pleasant and they're healing. So it has a lot to do with the listener. You get the point? I mean, anybody can get up and say things, but if you're not paying attention to them, it's not going to help you. And so pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul, health to the bones. You need to develop an ear for God's Word. Develop an affinity, become a real fan of God
yes.
and His Word. To where you can't wait to hear what He has to say. To where it is the delight of your day. To where His words, you find them, and they're the joy and the rejoicing of your heart.
Yes.
You did eat them. What Jeremiah said, I found your words are found. I did eat them, and they were the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. Hallelujah. And your commandments is what David said. They're sweeter than honey, sweeter than a honeycomb. More be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Hallelujah. He had a hunger for the word And he had, it was soothing to him. I'm telling you, he could be in turmoil. There could be a tragedy or crisis in his life, and he'd have a promise, and it would just calm him down. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. See, God's word is a comfort to us, a strength to us, a health, help to us, and health and healing to us.